Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 23:1. And we are diving into this series, The Lord is Our Shepherd. We're going to do at least four parts of this. We may do five. It might take us into the first week in February, but for sure we're going to do four and break this psalm down. Let's just read through this. We probably are looking at different translations, so I won't have you all do it out loud. But Psalm says this. It's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. This psalm is tucked right in with Psalm 22 and 24. Shockingly, I know. 23 comes between 22 and 24. But these psalms are actually constructed in such a way that Psalm 22 kind of brings the lament. God, where are you in the trouble? Where are you when things are going wrong? And Psalm 23 brings the answer. And then Psalm 24 kind of goes into praising God for who he is. And they're designed to go together. This whole book, the Psalms, is a collection of song prayers. It's prayers to God written down for us. David was a psalmist. He was a musician. He was a worshiper of Jesus. I say of Jesus, he wouldn't have known exactly who Jesus was. He was a worshiper of the Lord. He was a worshiper of Yahweh. And he loved God. When he had good days, when he had bad days, he would worship. He would bring just pour out his heart to God. Even when he didn't like what God was doing, he would pour out his heart to God. He's like, God, why? What are you doing? Everything's going wrong. I mean, look at Psalm, I won't read the whole psalm, but Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? That doesn't sound like high praise. That doesn't sound like, wow, Jesus, you're amazing. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, had God forsaken him? No. But this is how he felt. And he would bring this to God. He would bring his heartfelt emotion to God. Not like sometimes with our kids, we'll talk and we'll say, hey, the way you talk to mom and dad matters. The attitude that you have when you're talking to us matters. You don't talk to us in certain ways. What's interesting is when David comes to God, he sometimes comes off a little bit with an attitude, like a child who needs some adjusting. And yet, what's cool is he brings this to God and it almost always shifts. By the time this psalm is done, he's praising God for who he is. He's remembering. God can handle it, guys, when we come to him with real questions, real doubts, real challenges. You know, God, how could you let this happen? Why did this happen? Now, I'm going to warn you, he may not always tell you why. You may not always get the answer. But he doesn't mind you coming. Pour it out. Pour it out. It's fine. You can talk to him for real. For real. So here's a question as we get into this. Do you believe, when we read, the Lord is my shepherd, do you believe that God has been, right now is, and will be forever caring for you in this life and in eternity? Do you believe it? Do you actually believe God's caring for you? I wrote these questions down. Can I trust God? Can I trust God with my kids? Can I trust God with my spouse? Can I trust God with my spouse-to-be? Can I trust God with my career? Can I trust God with my future? Can I actually trust God? Or does God just help those who help themselves? That's quoted a lot. God helps them who help themselves. And I'd love to see you find that in the Bible. Because it isn't in there. It's not in there. Can you trust God to provide for you? Think about that. Do I trust God? Can I trust you, God, to provide for me? If I step out in faith, can I really trust you to take care of me? Or do I need to keep a little bit back in reserve so that if you don't come through, I can do it myself? Now, this sounds really good right now, doesn't it? Well, of course we can trust God for that. But do we live like that? Can I tell you honestly? A lot of times I'll keep a little bit back in reserve, just in case. You know, if God really doesn't come through on his word, I got it covered. You know? And it sounds ridiculous to say that out loud, and yet I can freely admit to you I do that. I guess the big question, the third question I wrote down here is God really enough for me? And I'll tell you what, coming into a week like this where I know, like, personally, one of the things I run to is coffee and caffeine. And I said, you know what, I'm just not going to do that this week. Actually, probably the whole month I'm going to not do coffee and caffeine. Some of that's just health related. That's probably a smart thing to do. But whatever it is that you run to that's enough for you, what's your shepherd? What is the shepherd in your life? What is that thing that you run to so that you feel like, okay, I have enough. I'm enough. Maybe it's new furniture, new clothes, whatever it is. New video games, new books. Like, I know that starts messing with things, but... So David, the shepherd who became a king, he's a musician, he's a songwriter, he's a passionate worshiper of Yahweh. Ultimately, Yahweh is revealed. The heart, the character of God is revealed in the New Testament through the life and ministry of Jesus. And this is who David is worshiping. He's written like 75 of the 150 Psalms. 75, half of the book of Psalms is written by this worshiper, David, who knows how to come to God even when he's run the other direction and fulfilled himself with something else. If you know anything about David, you know David would tend to find his fulfillment in women. And thus he has multiple children with multiple women, and that didn't turn out super great for him. But even when he's run the wrong direction and then tried to cover it, had one of his most loyal friends murdered, set him up, had him killed, just to cover the fact that he had slept with his wife and got her pregnant, he would always come running back to God. David, this boy who had been a shepherd, who became a king, knew the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. On my best day and on my worst day, I can come to my shepherd. Now, I wrote down a bunch of stuff here. Actually, a guy out of Kaleo put this together. It's amazing how much this psalm about a shepherd is quoted, not just by Chris Tomlin and Matt Redman, but by Kanye West and Coolio and Good Charlotte and Puff Daddy and Alice in Chains and U2 and Bob Dylan and Pink Floyd and The Grateful Dead and Megadeth and Peter Tosh. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, it just resonates. It resonates with people. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death because the Lord is my shepherd. I can sit down and eat even when stuff is going haywire all around me because God is my shepherd. God's taking care of me. And there's something about this in our pop culture even. It resonates. It rings true. And Coolio and Puff Daddy and Kanye West are letting us know. Those amazing prophets. It's in films. Modern films. And some not so modern. You'll recognize these. Some of them I didn't recognize. Most of them I did. Pale Rider. Rooster Cogburn. Full Metal Jacket. Jarhead. We Were Soldiers. Titanic. The Wicker Man. They all come and they're referring to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I looked up some of these and the guys are going through all kinds of war chaos. And they're thinking, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Surprise, surprise. This stuff comes to mind in tough times. Oh yeah, I remember this. I've heard this. Jesus himself calls himself the Good Shepherd. In John 10, 1 through 16, he actually calls himself this twice, in verse 11 and verse 14. He calls himself the Good Shepherd. So even though the New Testament writers never quote from Psalm 23, Jesus makes the reference with being the Good Shepherd. It's funny that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That never makes it into the pages of the New Testament. And yet, Jesus says, all the scripture, the Psalms and the prophets, they all speak of me. So, we've got Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Now, I'm going to give you five things here. These actually won't take super long. To break this, we're just breaking this first verse down today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yahweh as shepherd, the Lord. Guys, we get to look to God himself as our shepherd. You don't have to settle for lesser gods. You don't have to settle for, you know, I need to feed this. I need to feed my need for acceptance somewhere else. I need to feed this here. I need to feed it there. You don't have to do that. You don't have to settle for that. You get to come to God himself. Through Jesus, you get to do this. Jesus is the ultimate pastor. No one's better. I have bad news for you. I will let you down. And I could frustrate you. I could completely, like, just not meet your expectations. And you could go somewhere else. And they're going to let you down too. And everywhere you could try to go, you're going to find we all fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus is the ultimate pastor. He never falls short. His arm is never too short to where he can't get into your situation. Like, oh gosh, that one's kind of tough. Which would be really funny if Jesus was saying, oh gosh. Oh me. He's the ultimate pastor. He cares, guys, he cares how you're feeling. He cares how you're doing. He cares when you feel like kids, like your parents just do not understand you today. God cares about that. When he says he's a shepherd, and actually in the New Testament, when we hear about, and well, yeah, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but in Ephesians 4, we hear that God's given five different leadership gifts to the church. The apostolic gift, a prophetic gift, evangelistic gift, a pastoral gift, and a teaching gift. This whole, that word for pastor is shepherd. God wants, because God cares so much about you and how you're doing, not just that you get a lot of people saved, and not just that you can do all these things for the kingdom of God, God actually cares about you. Even if you couldn't do any of those things, he cares about you. Because he cares so much, he's put shepherds in the church. because he loves you. God's the ultimate protector. He'll humble himself to get right into your field and get right down with you to where he smells like you. He smells like sheep. Have you ever smelled sheep? I do not love sheep. I don't love their smell. They stink. They're dirty. But our shepherd will get right down with us. He'll get right into your mess. All the stuff you think, oh gosh, I don't want anyone to know about this. Well, the Lord, your shepherd, is going to get right in there with you. Can I give you a hint? You haven't been hiding it from him in the first place. All those things you think are kept secret, they're not. God, your shepherd, he knows. He's right there. You haven't escaped his watchful eye. He knows. And he's right there with you to work you through it. He's your protector. He's your provider. He's your provision. He's all of these things for you. Those three things I wrote down. Your pastor, your protector, and your provider. This is your shepherd. This is our Lord. This is Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, that carries right through today. In Christ, we are a part of this amazing covenant. So number one was the Lord, Yahweh, as shepherd. Number two, really big point here, is. Not just was. Not just will be someday in heaven. He is your shepherd. Not when you get better and you are a more... how am I going to say this? More good. Not when you get more good. If we're going to say it that way, we've got to say it mo. Mo good. Mo better. Not just when you get mo better, but right now, he is your shepherd. Now, if I said to Becca, tomorrow or maybe next week, I am going to be a great husband for you. But no promises today. I'm guessing she wouldn't be super thrilled with me on that. No, she's shaking her head. No. God doesn't do that to us either. To say, hey guys, there's coming a day. First you're going to go through all kinds of trouble. And then you're going to die. And then I'm going to be good. And then I'm going to be your shepherd. Mm-hmm. But right now you're on your own. And life's hard. I'm sorry. Well, life is hard. Yes. There's going to be trouble. Yes. Stuff happens. Yes. But right now, today, God is your shepherd. He is. Right now, just think about what are the challenges in your life right now? God is your shepherd in this right now. Excellent. Number three, another big deep point. My. He is my shepherd. Not just our shepherd corporately. And this is big. In the American church, and not just the American church, the Western church in general, we tend to be very individualistic. And we make it, it's actually a very humanistic approach to everything. And it's all about me, and it's all about how I feel, and it doesn't really matter so much, you know, how what I do affects everyone else, as long as I feel good about it. I need to do what's right for me. I need to, you know, I'm sorry guys, I know I said I'd do this, but I can't do this. We tend to be very individualistic and forget that what we do impacts everybody around us. We tend to do this. And so because of this in the church, we'll tend to emphasize, rightfully so, the we of the church. The we of the body of Christ. It's we. It's us together. God saves you and brings you into family. He brings you into accountability where people will speak into your life. Correction happens to where you become less selfish and more like Jesus. And this is good. And right in the middle of that, we have Psalm 23. that doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. We never want to lose sight of the fact that Jesus loves you very intensely, personally, you. He loves you. He's your shepherd. He's not just, well, this is really tough on me, but I know it's good for everyone else, and I just need to kind of suck it up. And well, there may be times where we need to realize it's not all about us. But in the middle of that, Jesus is very concerned with you. Don't ever forget it. Don't let anyone tell you differently. It's not just a corporate salvation. It's a personal salvation that you get to live in. It's a personal Jesus. Now, he's not just your personal Savior, but he is your personal Savior. Don't forget it. Number four, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Just throw it out at me. What does a shepherd do?
Protects.
Watches.
Guides.
Yes. And we're gonna get into that one a lot more next week. We're gonna focus in on this. Any other thoughts?
Feeds or needs for food.
Yeah, he feeds you, he leads you for food. All of these things the shepherd does.
Fights off the enemy.
Wolves. And lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my.
Oh my. Evil witches, right? Okay. And now we've crossed the line into fantasy world. So, the shepherd looks after the welfare of the sheep. So we have that reality. When we say the Lord is our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, he's looking out for you. John 10:11 says, Jesus says, good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Whoa. Gives his life for the sheep. That's a good shepherd. I don't know if I would be that good of a shepherd if I was in the field and there was some massive beast coming and I couldn't fend off it. I might let a few sheep go to not die. But obviously when Jesus says he's the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep, he's talking about us. Slightly different than an animal.
Can I share a verse really quick? It's been on my heart this week. It's from Isaiah 40, and it just goes right along with this. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart and gently leaves those that have young. Mm. I've just been thinking about that scripture.
Yeah. This is what he does. Yeah. This is what the shepherd does. And all of this speaks to Jesus, 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 the good shepherd. But there's a second reality here where there's a shepherd, there's sheep. We are sheep. Psalm 103 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And we can go, oh, we're the sheep of his pasture. John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I've heard a great story of these two flocks and these two groups of shepherds down in Mexico. A very rural area. These shepherds are out watching their sheep. And one little lamb, they were all together, and these flocks got together. And then one shepherd led his flock up one hill, and one led his flock up the other hill. And one of the little lambs got lost in the wrong herd. And he went all the way up the hill. And so this shepherd starts calling the sheep. And this little sheep is all the way on this other hill. But he knew the sound of his shepherd's voice. And he took off and left that herd as the shepherd called him, came down back through the valley, back up the other side, Shepherd never even had to go get the sheep. This little sheep knew, that's my shepherd. And he went. So John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Isn't that cool? That shepherd knew. He got up there and was like, something's wrong. I'm missing one. And he calls, and out here comes this little sheep. But guys, when he calls us sheep, it's not a compliment. It's not a compliment. I already told you, sheep stink. But sheep are dumb. They are directionless. They are unable to protect or provide. They're dirty. And Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We like sheep have gone astray. This is what sheep tend to do. Get lost. Get dirty. They can be on the way to a great stream. And what do? They drink from the parasite puddles along the way. This is what they do. This is what sheep do. In fact, I found this out this week. Sheep can fall over. And either because of having too much wool, or in fact, we might get into some of this next week. Having too much wool or what, they cannot get up. And the sheep can die. In summertime, period of a few hours, because it can't get up. And the shepherd has to come over and pick the sheep up and set it up right. Now, if it's been on its back for a little while, the sheep will tend to fall over again and get stuck. And the shepherd has to come on, pick the sheep back up again, and kind of massage its legs and help this stupid sheep to stay up. When God says we're sheep, he's saying, look, you guys have issues. On your own, you have issues. You have problems. You need a shepherd. God actually designed us to need a shepherd and to need him. It's built into us. The core message of this psalm is that all sheep need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd is in trouble. The last thing we want to hit, number 5 on this. Okay, we've got, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. That doesn't mean the word want, if you think about in our English word, I want this. We've turned that to mean, I desire this. And sometimes little kids, I want it. It's like, I'm demanding it. I want this. And we can even say it like, I need this. When we don't. We don't really need it. No, you don't need another latte. Probably okay. The word want here is to lack. That was not directed at my wife, by the way.
Whatever.
He's actually thinking of myself.
My wife needs it. She'll kill us.
Okay, apparently we've struck a nerve with the latte. So there we go. We get down to our real idols. Our real shepherds, apparently. Starbucks. There's a demon somewhere. And it's like, reveal yourself. Starbucks. Okay, the word want, I shall not want, doesn't mean I'm not going to desire. It means lack. God is my shepherd. I'm not going to lack anything. I'm not missing anything. Because God is my shepherd. In Christ, guys, in Christ, we have everything we need for life and everything we need for godliness. God's promised us that. In Christ, we have it all. Everything you need, you've got in Jesus. That's pretty good. I'm happy about that. I don't always live like that. I'm guessing you don't either. We can get our eyes off of Jesus, off of the real prize, And once our eyes go off of the prize with a capital P, all these other little lesser prizes look really good. They do. Hey. Like our iPhones. I wrote some of this down here. If you're not lacking anything, you have everything. Jesus knows you by name. He laid down his life for you. He cares for you. He's made provision for eternal life for you. Not just every day of your life on this planet, your lifespan, but beyond that, forever. He's made provision for that. If he's done all of this, the question is, do you believe it? Do we believe it? And what is it that you tend to feel? In my notes, I italicized and underlined "feel." What is it you tend to feel you lack in God? Think about it. What do you tend to feel that you lack in God, where God has left you wanting? It could be with relationships or careers. Maybe you've got the career, but now it's the money. It could be your home. It could be your friendships. What do you feel you lack in God? What we want to do is bring that very thing or those very things to God. Say, God, you say, you're my shepherd. I don't lack, but I feel like I lack. Now, I want to get my eyes off of, okay, all these things that I'm looking elsewhere for. I want to come back to you. Get my eyes back on Jesus, my shepherd, who provides everything I need. You're going to run into some things this week. I guarantee you, this month, as we're talking about this. God is my shepherd, and I'm coming to him. If I'm lacking nothing, guarantee you, you skip a few meals this week, or whatever it is that you're skipping to replace with time with Jesus, you might start feeling some lack. I've been there. I guarantee you, you'll feel some lack. You'll run into some walls and some barriers and some weaknesses. And you go, oh, wow, in my own strength, I'm kind of weak. I could be kind of pathetic. And it reveals your need for Jesus and your tendency to look to other shepherds. What we're going to run into this month is the question, who's your shepherd? And then the capital, who? Who is? Jesus is your shepherd. Let's just come to him right now. And maybe stuff has already come to your mind. It can be your everything from your education to career to relationships to whatever. Where you're looking other places. And God, we look to you right now. We just fix our eyes on you. Your word says we can look to you, the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. We choose to look to you. God, we know we all can fall short. We've all fallen short multiple times. We've fallen short of your glory. But God, we look to you, the one who's never fallen short, the one who has never been not enough. Jesus, you are always enough. We look to you.
Yes.
God, we bring these other little shepherds that we look to. Other places we look for our provision. Other places we look to say, God, I don't know if you're really enough for me here. I bring that to you right now. And we just lay those idols down at your feet. I lay my idols down at your feet. I give you permission. You might do this yourself, guys. But I give you permission, Jesus, to show me my idols this month. Show me where I tend to run when it's not to you. Show me where I tend to go, where I tend to flee, where I tend to stumble, where I tend to drink from stupid parasite puddles. Just give you permission, God. Show me that. Pray that for our kids that are here today. God, you speak to them this month. Let them see places where they're tending to go for their fulfillment, where they're tending to go that's not to you. Just pray, God, you'd open their eyes as only you can do it. For all of us, God, open our eyes. Most importantly, open our eyes toward you, our good shepherd. God, we want to know you as a shepherd, and each of us personally. I want to know you as my shepherd, God. Thank you for being our shepherd king and calling us to you, the sheep that we are. And God, you say you're going to take us and form us together into something fantastic. God, we just praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.